We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And this is what's coming. Gas surge, but then I told you that. Pretty easy to see it coming. Right now, what's happening in this country, Lee, is that Joe Biden is tapping our strategic reserve to try to replace a lot of the oil he took off the market. And if he just let producers produce it, we could have it on the market.
Yeah, but that, you know, we can't have American companies making money.
No, that would be a shame.
And supplies for American drivers. We just can't have that.
We can't. But they got a problem. They want to limit the damage in the midterms. So what to do? So he puts it on the world market. You've heard a lot of complaining about that. Well, wait, he's letting the Chinese buy. Well, it doesn't matter who buys it, right? The number of barrels in the market determines the price. It's pretty simple economics. So he puts the oil out there. And the whole world knows after the midterms are over, the pain begins again for Americans, and they're going to stop tapping the reserve. So guess what OPEC announces? Wow, we could really get rich. He's going to stop tapping the reserves, he's going to continue disallowing Americans to drill because of his 70 regulations, most of which affect federal lands. So that's why he can do it executively. And so, wow, the price is going to go through the roof. And so OPEC's like, cool, we'll just pile on and we're going to pull 1.5 million barrels, roughly between 1 and 2 million off the market. Well, that's exactly the amount Joe Biden took off the market. In other words, when America puts those barrels back on, we control the price. We control the market. But they don't want us to control the market. Because I don't know, we keep electing these economically suicidal leaders. And so guess what? OPEC's like, yeah, we'll pile on. We could use the cash. So they're predicting skyrocketing oil prices after the midterms, which is exactly what we're going to get, Lee. And this is why I warned you weeks ago. I mean, Janet Yellen is telling you, oh, yeah, we're already working on price caps for that.
And keep in mind, much of the economic sanctions from us and our allies against Russia take place when? Oh, in December. Conveniently, right after the elections.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's the other reason they're working on it, too. Thank you for reminding me, because guess what? They know that if they put more sanctions on the Russian oil, it's going to do what? Take it off the market. Isn't that the same thing OPEC's doing to raise prices?
Yep.
Except we're just doing it for them. Russia's going to sell the oil either way. But when you take it off the world market, that's when you get the real pain. So, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. All of it in a concerted effort to keep you, in a great deal of pain. Again, I keep playing that Yellen announcement. It's over a month old now. And she tells you, if you listen here carefully, she says we might need caps. No, they will need caps. That's why she said it. And she's telling you we're already working on it.
Well, Yellen making it clear that current chair Jerome Powell has a tough road ahead of him, especially if gas prices spike again.
Well, it's a risk. And it's a risk that we're working on the price cap to try to address. I believe this is something that can be essential, and it's something that we're trying to put in place to avoid a future spike in oil prices.
Who cares what the price is if you can't get it? Because that's what price caps do, is that it makes an artificial shortage. I mean, we went through that. You talked about this earlier in the show this morning. This is what we went through in the 70s in the Middle East oil crisis.
And they're recreating it. I mean, we're not close enough to the 70s. So we've got to, use this now to get there. It's ridiculous. But it's, you know, it's what they're doing. And they are coming for you. They're coming for me. They are coming for all of us the second that midterm is over, because they know they have a limited amount of time to induce the greatest amount of pain possible. And then they're going to hope to hold on to the presidency to keep it going. And they can largely keep it going if they can just retain the presidency. Because it's going to take two huge numbers to stop these policies. And I don't know if we can even get them in Congress. That's the bet they're making.
No.
But, you know, we may get them in Congress before we're done with this level of pain that's coming. And you think you've seen pain. You haven't seen it yet. It's what they have planned that you need to be prepared for. And don't kid yourself. This is planned. This is absolutely planned. That's why they're already planning the caps. And all the caps do is make it so you end up on a gas line. You can't get gas. It's not going to go any other way. Unless we do common sense things, drop the sanctions on Russia that will hurt them and help us. Lift the 70 regulations Joe Biden put on oil. People don't realize oil and natural gas, between 20 and 25% of it, depending on the corner of both, comes off of federal land. So he can executively put them off limits or limit them. And that's what he has been doing executively. That's how he managed to knock that 1.5 million barrels of oil back off the market and put OPEC back in the driver's seat. And then he can rage at OPEC, which is just silly. And do you remember when he went to Saudi Arabia?
Oh, yeah.
And the Saudi Arabian, you know, they lectured him in front of everybody about, well, you know, like, this is American energy policy. You guys haven't built a refinery. I mean, you know, you're over here begging for oil. I mean, do you know how ridiculous we looked?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And then you had, remember, Emmanuel Macron, the head of France, who they don't actually have their own oil. Like, we pretend we don't have oil, but they actually don't have any. And OPEC's October oil surprise.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it just came up on Fox News. This is why I'm talking about this. So Macron says to Joe Biden in front of the camera, pretending it's, you know, off camera, but Macron's no dummy. Hey, you know, hey, listen, the Saudis can't fix this. They don't have enough oil. In other words, you know, you're killing me here, man. I mean, the price, they have so many taxes on gasoline in Europe. And when Joe Biden wants to monkey around and keep the oil off the market and put OPEC in the driver's seat, he's basically telling, look, the idea of going to beg Saudi Arabia for oil, that's not going to solve it. They can't. They're already at capacity. And now they're going to cut back. They're all going to cut back. Holy cow. And again, you're talking oil. I mean, that's also diesel. That's also food prices. I mean, again, you haven't seen anything yet. They are just getting warmed up. Texture rates. And when the economy tanks in December going forward, with Republicans in control of the House and the Senate, they will be blamed for the economic collapse before the 2024 election.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll take the Senate or not. We'll see. That's kind of, I don't know. It'll be interesting. They'll try that. They will try that. And Biden will scream that the Republicans won't work with him. I don't know if it'll work. It'll be interesting to see.
It's going to be, well, more scary than interesting.
Yeah.
Because we'll have to live through this.
Yeah, we're going to have to live through it. And I mean, I keep warning you, and I wish I had good economic news for you. And all I can tell you to do is to prepare. I mean, there's not a lot of other stuff you can do. They are committed to this course. Larry Fink, head of BlackRock, did a symposium with Bill Clinton as part of the Clinton Initiative. And Fink literally says, I mean, this is this big, powerful fund. And he says, listen, we're going through a transition. People are suffering, but don't worry. You know, we just got to get through the next 8 or 9 months. And I'm like, it's not going to be over in 8 or 9 months. They act like, oh, yeah, all the solar panels will be up by then. And the windmills will be up. And then it'll be over. We're not building that stuff.
No.
I mean, we are in a limited way, but not enough to replace the energy we're destroying.
No, but not by a long shot.
I mean, did you see the Boston Globe articles about a week ago? And the Boston Globe is, of course, fretting, and they should, that there's going to be rolling blackouts in New England. And you read 2/3 of the way down the article, you get to the rub. The problem is that, you know, when you're looking, like, all of these states in New England said, no, we don't want gas lines. We don't want new ones. We're going to shut down the ones we have. Okay, well, the gas can't get to you. Well, that'll be fine. We'll be green. Well, you're not replacing it with anything. And so you're going to get rolling blackouts. That's what you're going to get. And they've chosen it. And, you know, I guess it's just one of those things like the 1970s, Lee. The country just has to live through it before they figure it out.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, that Joe Biden told us he was going to do all this. And I played the audio endlessly, but the American people never heard it unless they listen to talk radio.
Exactly.
So, I mean, this is, it's all very confusing. Where is this coming from? And, you know, nobody knows. It's all a mistake. It's just confusing. So, but they'll figure it out. And it might be when they're spending hours in a gas line, but they will figure it out eventually. It's going to, I mean, the media lie and spin and blame Putin, but it's Biden. It's Biden.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Democrats are using open borders as a voter drive. They've told us this themselves. You can't say it if you're on the other side. But they say it all the time. Why are they doing it? Well, I'll let Joe Biden explain. I played this clip many times. I will play it many more. I think it's easiest just for him to say it in his own words. When he was running for office, he told us what he would do.
What I would do as president, I would in fact make sure we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum.
Surge to the border. And what we needed, he explained in 2015, was an unrelenting surge. At the time, Barack Obama thought he had one, but Joe Biden has since blown by that, bringing an immigrant horde illegally the size of Ireland to the country. Almost 4 million people since he took office. But then that's exactly what he told us he would do in 2015, because we needed to change the demographics of America. His words, not mine. I'll let him explain.
And the wave still continues. It's not going to stop, nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. An unrelenting stream of immigration. Nonstop. Nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
Okay, so that's what he believes. That's what he's doing. You're watching him do it at the border. He told us he was going to do it, and I don't know why it's controversial to say he's doing it. Probably because it's the truth. Well, he was speaking before a friendly group the other day, all Democrats, and took credit for the wave, for the millions. And he wanted to make certain you understood the achievement that he had achieved. And what was that achievement? He said, according to him, that 26% of students now in our schools speak Spanish as their first language. That is an achievement, and he's going to bring you more of it, he says. This is his agenda, not mine. I'll let him explain. Here he is last week.
I just want to say this again. Think about it. Not a joke. When in American history has there been a circumstance? Can you turn this mic on for me?
When in American history has been a circumstance where one ethnicity has the potential to have such a profound impact on the direction of a country? Not a joke. 26% of every single child who's in school today speaks Spanish. 26%. We've had large waves of immigration before. But the thing is, you just have enormous opportunities to make this country so much better. And I really mean it. I really mean it. And so, as my father would say, let's go get them. Thank you.
What exactly are they going to go get? Well, Hispanics have always voted overwhelmingly Democrat. And about a 65% rate in the worst races, right? So they figure if you bring enough of them here, the Democrat Party will have a permanent Chinese-style majority, and then they can rule with an iron fist. That's not my opinion. They've told us this. It's from Breitbart headline, Democrats vow transformative plan to add a million foreign-born residents to U.S. voter rolls in 4 years. It's being headed by former Representative Luis Gutierrez, who believes the border should always be open, and anyone in any country in the world, he's told us, should be able to vote in American elections, even if they're not here. Well, they had a press conference, him and Dick Durbin, about how the Democrat Party, they were opening a nonprofit to register a million green card holders, but only, they said, brown ones. Quote, in America, the overwhelming growth population is Hispanic, and even a conservative Republican can count, Durbin said. And if they can count, they know in future elections, their fate may be decided by the same Hispanic Americans. They are telling us these people are going to come here, we're going to bring them in, and they are going to outvote you. Listen to how they describe it. Talking to conservatives specifically, your fate may be decided. That's scary. Except for one problem. The Democrat agenda, the platform, the absolute unmitigated destruction is so horrific. The moral compass so completely unmoored. Hispanics are beginning to notice. They don't like it. They don't like it. The first sign that something was badly, badly wrong for the Democrats, who have a very racist notion of Hispanics as one people, not individuals. And Hispanics, he was talking there, Joe Biden was, about a race. The Hispanic's not a race. Tons of different races. Black, white, brown. I mean, the only thing they have in common is they speak Spanish. They come from different cultures, different countries, different religions. But the Democrats don't see them that way. They see them as breakfast tacos, as Jill Biden helpfully explained. Well, a funny thing just happened. Congresswoman Maria Flores, she's a Republican, won in a special election in a district that has elected Democrats to the U.S. House since the Civil War. Oops. Then in Zapata County, Trump rallied from a 33% loss in 2016 to a 5% victory in 2020. That's a county that's 95% Hispanic. That's not good. And then all those border counties, which have always been hardcore Democrat, went for Hillary Clinton by at least 10 points. The ones in Texas, they all flipped 100%. They went Republican because they've seen the destruction. They've seen the 21% unemployment because people from all over the world, not just Hispanic countries, are hanging out. And it's hurting them. And now we're seeing this in polling from the RNC. This is interesting. Independents swinging toward Republicans, that's not news. That's been repeated for a couple of weeks. But Hispanics swinging toward Republicans in the majority at a higher rate than independents. Close the borders, right? This could be a panic situation. So I don't know what they're going to do. Label them all racist? Intimidate them? But it'd be hilarious if this blows up in their face. But that was Joe Biden this week, taking credit for the vast majority. So this is a guy who will not, admit he is leaving the borders open as part of the voter drive. But that's how he speaks when he thinks he's out of earshot of the rest of us. I'm doing a great job, man. 26% of the people and kids in our schools now don't even speak English. And that's awesome. I'm so excited. Or they speak Spanish. It's very good. And I'm going to keep it going. Believe me, they have no interest in people unless they think they can get something out of them. And what they think they can get is a permanent majority. We'll see. We'll see. Because let me tell you what. Hispanics may be horrified by the Democrats right now. Democrats aren't going to change. They can't change. Their white primary voters won't let them. They'll just kill off the moderates should any decide to run. So they're in a very interesting position. I never thought I'd see. I thought the country was done. And it may still be because now the immigrants they're importing that are coming over the border are most of the Hispanic countries have already emptied out of all those who want to come. And so it's folks from all over the world, Turkey and places like that. So we'll see how they vote. I don't know. But they're not giving up and the border is wide open because of it. Gasoline prices aren't coming down. That's weird. I mean, yeah, they're coming down. They've come down from all-time highs, sure, which makes them look lower. But historically, very high. One of the reasons they're not coming down is because Joe Biden's taken that 1.5 million barrels off the world market I've been telling you about for a year with his 70 new regulations. And so that puts OPEC back in the driver's seat, and those guys went crazy. As they intend, they want the price of energy to skyrocket. But there's another reason that oil prices have not dropped and OPEC is back in the driver's seat. There's another reason, it's a big reason, why America is no longer the world's number one exporter of oil, no longer the world's number one producer of oil, and that's ESG scores. And essentially, that is something that is sweeping. Because almost all of these big fund managers are liberal or they're under the thrall of the Democrat Party. They're very much afraid of them and the Securities and Exchange Commission. So what they've started doing is rating investments, rating them, according to our environmental friendliness. So if you've got a bad ESG rating, you're not going to get picked up by fund managers. You know, liberals won't invest in you. That's fine. You can still make a buck without them. But the fund managers won't pick you up, even if you have great investments. So what happened was that normally what would happen if the price of oil skyrockets, right? The mom and pop frackers would go get loans, hire a bunch of people, get the wells going again. It's very easy to cycle up small fracking operations. And that's why it's at its peak. Texas alone produced so much oil that it was more powerful than OPEC. I mean, it was unbelievable what they did. So when you get a high oil price like this, you can justify a loan. They'll go get one, a bridge loan, and they'll get started. They need loans for other things as well. In other words, they need, factoring loans so that, the oil's in the pipeline. They haven't gotten paid yet. They need to keep the wells running. It's not a big deal. They've always taken out loans. And when the price is really high, like it is right now, and you have OPEC cutting back, this is normally the perfect time to get loans. We'd flood the market with our oil. We'd get rich. The GDP would grow. We could get out of recession and lessen the impact of inflation. But people can't get loans. This is the reason mom and pop frackers on private lands are not reopening like they normally would. They're just idle. And that's because they would go to big lending institutions. Now they have to go to individuals who don't need ESG scores. There's just not a lot of those. There's not a lot of ways to cobble together financing. So you see what's happening with oil, right? Now we've got our Treasury Secretary talking about having to cap the price. We've got people warning of an oil shock coming. I mean, all that's going on because people can't get financing too. Okay, now you've seen the impact of it, and you're going to really see the impact of it after the election because Joe Biden is protecting you from the worst of what he's done by tapping the strategic reserve, right? So he takes those barrels, he puts them on the world market, and it helps mitigate the pain that is caused by his executive orders, the 70 regulations taking the oil off the market, right? They're going to rip that off after the election, and the price is going to go through the roof. The strategic petroleum oil is helping a little bit on the world market. But the ESG scores are really hurting us. Okay, well, ask yourself this question, because you've seen oil and i.e. gasoline hit all-time highs. And you've seen what that looked like. It's coming again. We're going to blow by those old prices. What if they did this with food? Wait, what? What if they did ESG scores for food? Well, the same thing would happen as is happening with oil, right? Mm-hmm. Price would skyrocket and you'd begin to have scarcities. Okay, let's put it all together. Because the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission in March proposed requiring large corporations, including agribusinesses and food companies, to report greenhouse gas emissions down to the lowest rungs on their supply chains. Huh. Well, as a means of combating climate change, well, what are the lowest rungs? Family farms. Over half the farms in this country are family-owned farms. The families just said, we can't do it. We're going to lose our farms. We can't afford to do this because of the audits that you would have to do just to get the ESG score. Well, how are family farms behaving? Well, they had a comment period and literally tens of thousands of comments. People absolutely panicked. I'm going to lose my farm. I can't afford to do this. The price of food's going to go through the roof. There's going to be scarcity. Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan. Of course, Republicans are asleep at the switch. They never notice this stuff till people start starving. Requiring indirect scope 3 emissions data for ESG scores, even on the smallest farmer, would require corporations to demand data on the use of fuel, fertilizer, pesticides, other chemicals from small-scale farmers who say they lack the personnel and resources to comply. They simply can't. Well, none less than the American Farm Bureau Federation is fighting this, and its state affiliates, and their lobbyists. They're in a panic. They're going to do to food what they've done to oil. Now, let's remember what they're doing at the EPA, because this is truly the scariest thing in the Inflation Resumption Act that just passed. For the first time, and I don't know why me and PJ Media are the only people talking about this, because it is really, really scary. For the first time, the EPA was given the gift of the ability to unilaterally regulate fertilizer, specifically nitrogen. You ever try growing anything without nitrogen? Good luck with that. I use it heavily in my own backyard gardening. Nothing grows if you don't. I mean, it does grow, but it's sad and pathetic. It's not enough to feed the nation. You can't go a couple turns of a farm without nitrogen. You can maybe go one season. When they began regulating nitrogen in this way, this exact same way in Sri Lanka, within 6 months, the country went from a food exporting to a food importing country, and its number one export was food, and people began to starve. They would later, the mobs, be so enraged they'd burn down the homes of their parliamentary leaders. The president and the prime minister would have to flee the country for their lives. 6 months on those policies. We just launched them here. They were in the Inflation Resumption Act that passed, I don't know, like about a month ago now, 6 weeks, something like that. They gave the EPA the ability to regulate nitrogen. You remember this? Done several podcasts on it. They also gave them, so they can now write the nitrogen, they can limit nitrogen as much as they like. Nitrogen is fertilizer. Nothing grows without it. You want cows to eat? You think, oh, well, I just want to eat vegetables. I'll eat cattle. I'll eat meat. No, they eat grain too. It's all going through the roof. Now, they didn't just give the EPA the ability to regulate nitrogen. No, no, no. They gave them an army. IRS wasn't the only folks who got an army. The EPA got an army too. $20 billion, not million, billion dollars to regulate nitrogen alone. Okay. So if we know that $80 billion buys 87,000 new IRS agents and army over a decade, what does $20 billion buy? Well, you don't need 87,000. There aren't that many farms. 20 billion dollars. What are you talking? 15, 17,000 army. You know how big that is? I mean, that is... Okay, we have four major food agribusiness producers in this country, and the rest are family farms. So we're talking, again, an army at least 15,000 strong? At least? What are they for? I'll tell you what they're for. It's common sense. As they put ESG scores on this, as family farmers go broke and the land lays fallow, maybe the Chinese buy it and they export the food, people get desperate. The price will be huge. And what will everybody want? 1 or 2 acres? Or they'll use the land they have and they'll try to grow. They know they will. They'll try to grow on their own land. That's what the army's for. It's to come after that guy. Because you could really do a lot to sustain a family if you got 2 to 3 acres. I'd be amazed what you can grow on that if you're efficient about it. That's who it is to go after. It's to go after family farms. It's to crush them. To crush the ones the ESG scores don't take care of. This is an absolute unmitigated war on food, using the same tactics that have jacked our oil prices through the roof and have Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary, saying, well, we might need price caps and rationing this fall. What do they do it to food? Because they're doing it right now, right in front of our face. If you want to read a great article on this, it's in realclearinvestigations.com. It's called U.S. Farmers Grab the Lobbying Pitchforks as Greens Sow Costly New Reporting Mandates. We're going to have some real problems with food in the coming years. So I want you to remember this, and I'll remind you as we go why it is all of a sudden we can't find anything to eat. Food costs, you think they're expensive now? You haven't seen anything yet. Texture rates, they want people to register their gardens. That is what you use a nitrogen army for. Think about this, folks. These aren't just regular EPA employees. These $20 billion, that is going to create a whole part of the department just to regulate nitrogen. And you can't grow anything in any significant quantity without it. And they're coming for it like the hounds of hell. He's not going to make it. He's just, I got to tell you, and you know I love Trump. I mean, I am not a Johnny-come-lately. I was with him from his first immigration speech when he wasn't popular yet. People were still saying, didn't he used to be a Democrat? Supported him with over $500 of my own money. My husband and I did. Small increments, just like I always tell you to do. But this isn't going to work. And I'm not going to kid you and pretend it will. I could do a whole hour on this statement that he put out. Using a racial slur to describe Mitch McConnell's wife. I don't like her. She's profoundly corrupt. He could have just said that. He didn't have to slur her. She's Asian. That's all that anybody's talking about this statement. It starts off great. It's what I've said on this show. He's not wrong. Is McConnell, Mitch McConnell, leader of the Republicans in the Senate, is McConnell approving all of these trillions of dollars worth of Democrat-sponsored bills without even the slightest bit of negotiation because he hates Donald Trump and he knows I am strongly opposed to them, or is he doing it because he believes in the fake and highly destructive Green New Deal and is willing to take the country down with him? In any event, either reason is unacceptable. He has a death wish. Okay. I think he meant for the nation. I think that about McConnell, too. But when you write he has a death wish, well, the left just took that and ran with it. Anybody knows they're going to do that. That sounds like a death threat. I mean, what the? And let me point out to you, again, he endorsed McConnell when he ran 2 years ago. I mean, McConnell's wife, who he's now slurring with an anti-Asian slur, and yeah, it was bad. Trump appointed her to his administration. If these people are that bad, why did you appoint them? And if this had been one or two bad people, that'd be one thing. There were dozens. Your FBI agent, your FBI director, sir, is such a terrorist that Biden kept him. Now he's terrorizing us. Just one long list. There is no judgment whatsoever with these people. If Mitch is so bad, why did you endorse him? Why? And it's still going on. And again, Kevin McCarthy, head of the Republicans in the House, he'll be the majority leader, unfortunately. Why? Because Trump endorsed him, too. A week after he was caught on video talking to Steve Scalise and Liz Cheney about, hey, let's call up the social media companies and get any Republican who questions the results of the 2020 election fired. Trump's endorsed him a week later. And then I end up on MSN.com for screaming about it. And Trump walks you back. Oh, I just endorsed him in the race. Well, too bad. We could have taken him out in a primary. Too late. Too late. What's McConnell doing now? Taking out Trump loyal opponents who look like they'd be good, or primary contenders who look like they'd be great. So what does Trump do? Legitimate criticism of McConnell. Why the racial slur was necessary, I'm not clear. So now what's going on? Well, we got 3 days of that. I hate to tell you this, but Ron DeSantis never make rookie mistakes like this. We can't win with this. We can't. And you know what? Everybody right now is looking at Joe Biden's negatives. Trump's right there with him. If any other Democrat runs but Biden, Trump's going to get run slap over. He's got to pull it together. This is not going to work.
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.